If you have your Bible with you, open up to the book of Daniel. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, there's I'll just give you a quick testimony. The other day I was out witnessing to people. I've grown bold enough to find groups, large groups of people, and just walk up to them and start open-air preaching to them. More witnessing, but doing it loud enough that every one of them hears me. And there was a group of men playing basketball. And I biked past them. I was kind of hesitant because there's been times where that didn't go over very well. You got a bunch of men full of testosterone. They think they're tough. But the Lord said, go back there and preach at them. So I did. I went back. And there happened to be, I think it was the timing, but there happened to be a man who was on the ground. And I didn't see him at first. But I asked him, I said, I just want to ask you guys, can I ask you guys a question? He said, I see you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior. They had some things to say, but there were two other men of this group. There's probably about a dozen of them, roughly, 10 to 12 people. And there was one of them that was on the ground, and two other ones were crowded around him going, dude, your leg, look at your leg. You see, his leg was shaking profusely because he twisted his ankle. You could see his whole leg shaking this fast. And everybody seen it. The whole group of them were like, whoa, check out his leg. I said, hey, I believe in healing. I said, Jesus heals people. Do you mind if I pray for you? He said, that's fine. I said, I don't want to be weird or anything, but can I touch your leg? I said, where does it hurt? So I prayed a quick prayer over him, and the spirit of faith came upon me. I can feel it when it comes. I knew that he was going to be instantly healed or whatever it was. I think it was a sprained ankle, pretty bad, to the point where you could tell he was trying to act like he was tough, but he was in severe pain. You could tell by the way his leg was shaking. And he had cuts and he's bleeding. So I commanded his leg to be healed. I prayed over it, and then I said, get up! You're healed. And he jumped up, completely healed. He was playing basketball, and all of them were like, wow. See? But then there was Mr. Abs that got involved. You all know him, the guy that's always got to lift up his shirt. He acts like he's doing it for no reason, but he's really trying to show off how macho he is. And he had some words to say. And then there was Mr. Religious in the corner that had some other things to say. How his talk starts immediately talking against tithing, talking against preachers. You know what that is? That's a disobedient person who God dealt with and he refused to obey God. You can tell by the words that come out of their mouth. They reveal what their sin was every time. They start talking against preachers, how they're greedy when really they're greedy and they refuse to give. And they heard it too long and they just decided to leave because God dealt with them so strongly. So we got into a little bit debate there, and then finally the one guy asked me to leave, so I left. That's okay with me. They asked Jesus to leave too, didn't they? And Jesus got in the boat and he left. It's not the first time. You know, the other day I went out witnessing. I think this week I alone probably prayed the prayer of salvation with 6 or 7 people. You know, a lot of people are open to the gospel. Don't let anybody deceive you. These people are open. Why are they open, Pastor Dan? Well, I'll tell you, when we first started this church approximately 4 years ago, nobody was open in Milwaukee. I'd go witnessing to people and they were cold. Completely cold, but I'm telling you that I've been making strong intercession for the city, and when I go out now, most people are willing to at least listen to what I have to say, including the Satanist at 1 in the morning who is walking with his girlfriend with all the rings and stuff in his nose. It doesn't make any difference to me how they want to dress. God doesn't look on the outward appearance, he looks upon the heart. He said he was a Satanist, he used to be a Christian, he's a young man approximately 21 years old. So I know how to deal with them because I know all about Satan. I've had plenty of time to study him as my mortal enemy. I know what the Bible says about him, so I asked him some questions. You got to be careful with Satanists, because they don't all bow down and worship Satan directly. But a lot of them believe that they are their own God. It's the same theory, it's the same attitude of Satan is what it really is. I serve myself. So I explained to him as much about Satan as I could in about 10 minutes' time. And the girl in the back was listening, and then I started talking about all the times I've prayed for people, all the miracles I could think of, all the healings that I've seen that I could think of off the top of my head. I said, if you don't believe me, I said, come follow me around. I said, if you don't believe we really live this way, I said, I understand. I knew by the word of knowledge that he grew up in a hypocritical family. I said, I understand that people didn't act right in front of you. I said, but if you don't believe that my wife and I live this, come and move in with us for a month. I always make that offer. Now do it too. They don't believe it. We don't watch TV. We don't watch that filth. There's nothing good on TV. The other day I had the privilege to talk to someone and they... Let's just keep going. No television. Just get rid of the whole thing. There's nothing good. Even most of your claiming Christian programming is filth. It's garbage. It's wrong doctrine. You're going to hurt your spirit. The Bible commands us to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of our hearts flows the issues of life. You cannot be guarding your heart if you spend equal amount of time watching secular television as you do reading your Bible. You're not guarding your heart. Not in this generation. TV has changed dramatically in the last 20 years. Dramatically. Don't watch it. Why would you do that to yourself? All your listen to me. All of your emotional problems that you have are a result of you watching that filth. That's what it's from. It's not that bad of a show. Listen to me. That show, most of those shows are run by Hollywood. Most of those actors are, almost every single one of them are unbelievers. In fact, I believe all of them are unbelievers. Even the claiming believers are unbelievers. Which means that it's demon-inspired because it's not inspired by the Holy Ghost. So you're watching demon-empowered people, good-looking, strong personalities. A lot of people like to think the devil's the guy in the bush, naked, growling at your children on the bike path. But let me tell you what the devil really is. The devil's your TV talk show host who is openly... proclaiming homosexual, that has a strong personality, a good humor, and six PhDs behind that devil. That's where the devil really lies, and the people with power, because he raises them up because they're his children. He develops them to indoctrinate the people, and because he's the father of lies, they become absolutely developed in subtlety like he is and don't even know they're doing it. Shut the television off. Get rid of it. What kind of attraction is that? That you have to watch those YouTube videos that are full of demon-possessed people. What kind of... Do you think it's the Holy Ghost that wants you to watch demon-possessed people? I don't want to watch that filth. See, I told you if you're going to watch somebody's videos every once in a while, watch Jason A. He puts the news clips on there. We're not supposed to be watching all these weirdo drug addicts and stuff like that. That spirit will jump off on you. Don't believe it? You might start eating baby powder. Pastor Dan hits real close to home, doesn't he? Try to tell me that spirit didn't get off on you when stuff like that happens. I'm telling you, something ain't right in the head anymore. Something jumped off on you. That's a spirit, you know, cutting. When people cut themselves, that's a spirit also. The man of Gadareans cut himself. Did you know that? That's nothing new when these youth do that. They do it because they want to feel something. Because they're so out of connection with God, they don't know where to look. They look in the wrong places. Before we get started, there's a very extremely popular man of God out there who I trust most of his teaching. He's a reputable source. He's been around for many years. And As I've been telling you, we're in the end days. He says that the Antichrist is here. Let me tell you something. God already told me that the Antichrist is here. So since the Antichrist is here and the rapture is going to happen in this generation, we need to know all about the Antichrist. Because there's a whole lot of rumors about the Antichrist that are not based on Scripture. Now everybody, let's pray before we get into this. Everybody extend your faith up this way. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place. And I ask you, Lord, for your power and your glory to fall upon these people. I pray that they would accept these words as truth because it's your word, Father. I pray they would put aside every preconceived idea and everything they've ever been taught that is not from Scripture. And I pray that they would, like little children, humbly accept your kingdom and yield to the revelation that's plainly written in your word. Pray the eyes of our hearts are being illuminated and flooded with light so that we can see these truths in your word, Father. I bind every religious spirit and every bondage that has them bound in Jesus' name. And Father, I just ask by the Holy Spirit that your power would come upon me now and you'd fill my mouth with your word to a level and help me to deliver these words in a way that gives them understanding so they can see this, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Everybody look up here. Look at me. Listen very closely. Most of your Bible is history. You can go on the Encyclopedia Britannica and you can follow history. These are facts, factual events that have taken place and they're written down on paper. Look up here. Look up here, everybody. Factual events that are written down on paper. You can understand history, right? You took history class. Columbus. So on and so forth, all the presidents. He's shaking his head. He never went to history class. History class, we can understand. History, it's something that previously happened. It's a real event based on fact that has actually taken place, written down on paper, right?
Amen.
Now look at me. If you can understand history, then you can understand prophecy because prophecy is history written down before it happens.
Amen.
Well, what if it doesn't happen? That's unbelief. If God says it's going to happen, then it's going to happen. And if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen the way God said it happened.
Amen.
Now, as Christians, we stand on God's word. That's the difference between a false Christian and a real Christian. Real Christians love God's word. They hold it at the highest esteem. They know that God magnified his word above his own name. They don't change the word. They take the word literally wherever it is possible. They know the word means what it says, and when God spoke it from his lips that it's forever settled in heaven, it is forever settled. God's word means what it says. If he says you're healed, we, like little children, are supposed to say, I'm healed.
Amen.
If God says you're saved by grace, not by works, and we're supposed to say, okay, no matter how hard I work for Jesus, I know I'm supposed to, this has nothing to do with me earning my salvation. I can't earn this. But I'm going to work, as, like in the words of Paul and 1 Corinthians 15, he said, no, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. If God's word says that he'll protect you, 1,000 will fall at your right side, 10,000 at your right hand, then no matter what kind of plague's going out there in Texas or whatever else is going on, you say, not going to come near me. You don't go walk around with masks on your face. I've seen people that do this. They're paranoid that something's going to happen. And let me tell you something, that fear is going to make it happen to them if they don't get it straight. Amen?
Amen.
You see, we believe there's a heaven, we believe there's a hell, we believe there's consequences to our action, negative and positive. We want to do what's right so we can go to heaven, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. So I'm going to tell you all about the Antichrist. Not only does the Bible give you description about his mission, his plan, the Bible goes in description and tells you exactly where he's coming from. Not only does the Bible tell you exactly where he's coming from, he tells you about a half a dozen times exactly where he's coming from in intricate detail. So even the weirdest weirdo out there that can't accept God's word is going to have to recognize that it says it multiple times where he's going to come from. Do you believe that it says where he's coming from?
Amen.
Because by the time we're done today, you're going to see that, yeah, this has been in my Bible the whole time. Or you go home and rip the pages out of your Bible and put it down once and forever and never talk about it again. Okay? It's a serious business. Because us who teach are going to be judged more strictly, right? Well, that goes with you too. If you go out there and blab your mouth, say the Antichrist is coming from the United States and all this, he's going to take over the whole entire world and kill everybody. You say stuff like that, you need to repent or you're going to be judged more strictly. Because you're teaching other people lies. How are you so confident? Well, you'll see when the scriptures say we're just going to read the Bible today. Okay, so we're going to read the Bible. It's just self-interpreting and it's going to teach us everything. Now, we understand the basics of Bible interpretation. We're supposed to take the Bible literally wherever it is possible. We know that history's already written down. There's no interpretation of that. It already happened. In fact, all of the history, if you study in your encyclopedias, you'll find out that all of the history that's prior to today is actually in the encyclopedias. Did you know that? All of it. Everything about the Jews, all these wars and stuff, you can find it all in different men's books. It's written down already. Outside the Bible. Which makes about 3/4 of your Bible's already true right there then, isn't it? 3/4 of it is history, just about. It's just a whole bunch of history. It's already taken place. Then another portion of it is prophecy. Now we know a lot of the prophecies have already come to pass. That's what makes the Bible such an interesting book, and we know that it's from God. You see, all the predictions that have come to pass. Just in Christ alone, there's about his crucifixion, his death, burial, and resurrection. There's 333 prophecies that happened accurately. Even the Jews will say, yeah, all that happened to him, but the disciples stole his body away. They even spread that rumor. So they know that Jesus was a real person. They just don't believe he was the Son of God or the Messiah. Which makes another infallible facts about the Bible. Now, people can try to explain that all the way. People can try to deny what the Bible says, all they say, but they never took time to study the Bible. I don't believe them, they say that. You know very well they didn't. Because you know very well, any of you that took in time to study the Bible, the more you studied it, even with a skeptical mind, you found out that, yeah, this stuff really is fact. This is true, and it really works, doesn't it?
Amen.
Anybody attests that the more you study the Bible, the more you find out it really is true. Okay? Amen. Now I want everybody to close your eyes. If I see anybody pointing your eyes, I'm going to call it your name. Close your eyes. And I want everybody to be very honest right now. And I want to see a raise of a hands who, even after the, maybe you heard this teaching, you still believe that the Antichrist is going to have the mark of the beast on the entire planet. Everybody's going to have to take that mark. Raise your hand at me. Just raise your hand. Be honest with me. If you believe the Antichrist is going to, the mark of the beast is going to be in the United States. Do you believe that? Raise your hand. Anybody else that's honest? We've got some, they believe that the Antichrist mark is going to be even in the United States. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. See, there's plenty of honest people. You can put your hands down. There may be some more. You're just scared because you know Pastor Dan's already taught on this, maybe. That could be. You see, I try to be very strong about this because this is God's holy eternal word. And when people in this generation like to talk opinions and blab their mouths because of pride, they don't realize whose word they're talking about. We've got to take this very serious. This is God's holy word. We need to honor and respect God's word and stick with the word. Now, I do not have to be a prophet to tell you where the Antichrist is coming from. See, I don't have to be a prophet. Nobody on the entire planet has to be a prophet, because the prophet Daniel already prophesied and told you where he's coming from, which means it's history written down before it has taken place.
Amen.
Prophecy is history that is written down before it happens. And if you settle that in your mind, that every time you see something that hasn't happened yet, you will know for a fact, no matter what everybody else is telling you, this is going to happen. They say, no, the Antichrist is Obama. You can look at them and I'll give them kind of a weird look. Say, can you show me a scripture that says that he's coming from the United States? Now let's take a look in our Bible in the book of Daniel, where the Antichrist, what area of the world he's going to come from. We're going to find out not only what area of the world, what geological location, the whole area, but also what area he's going to take over, where he's going to set up his rule and reign. And all sorts of other facts and details that are written down in your Bible the whole time, you might not have known are there. Okay? Now, this man of God who's out there preaching that the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, knows he's going to take over, and everybody in the whole world is going to have to take the mark. I don't discard everything he's got to say, and I'll tell you why. Because he knew one thing. He knows the Antichrist is here. And he also knows this. He's preaching that we need to be ready for whatever is going to happen. Okay? Anybody see the moon last night? What did you see the color of it? It's unusual. There's a lot of those moons going on, huh? Every time that thing's up there, I just hear God screaming at me, be ready. Be ready. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to get my Bible here. What are you doing, Pastor Dan? We're warming up because these verses are heavy. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we want to find the book of Daniel in our Old Testament, if you're not already there. We're going to start in chapter 2. Chapter 2. Now, I'm not going to read all these visions. I encourage you to go read them at home. A lot of time, Daniel tells a vision. It takes about half a chapter. And then an angel or somebody comes and interprets the vision for him. We're going to go through some of the interpretations of the visions and dreams he had for sake of time. Otherwise, this would take many services. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just worship Him for a second. We praise You, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. We bind every hindrance of the service in Jesus' name. Somebody's been having headaches. Who is that? Raise your hand at me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command every symptom of distress, deficiency to leave her. Somebody's also been... I see that hand. Father, we just thank You. The anointing breaks every yoke. We command everything to line up according to God's Word right now. Somebody's been feeling a... Maybe it's you. Somebody's been feeling... Try to describe this like a faint or dizziness. Who is that? Is it you? Anybody else? I think it's got something to do with... with your cardiovascular system. Father, in the name of Jesus, command everything to line up according to God's Word. Somebody's hand is also bothering them. That's you. Got multiple. I see those hands. You're going to have to help me remember all these. He's keep bringing them to me. Let's just see what else He's going to show me. Father, we command everything to line up according to God's Word she raised her hand for. We thank You for healing and restoration. We give You glory and honor and praise. We thank You, Jesus, for the gifts of the Spirit. We thank You for miracles. Right now, we command her head, her hand, the dizziness, everything to line up according to God's Word right now in Jesus' name. Somebody's also been having symptoms in your stomach area. Who's that? You're healed.
Okay.
I felt the anointing go in. Father, in the name of Jesus, command everything to line up according to God's Word. We break all the hold of the enemy. We command all the symptoms of distress and deficiency to leave her right now in Jesus' name. We command everything to be healed. In Jesus' name, we praise You and exalt You, Lord. We praise You and exalt You, Lord. The anointing, you know, when the anointing goes in, you can think of like the life of God is flowing in your veins right now. It's working. He says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. As a law. It's a law. It's a law of life. He says, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. That's what the laying on of hands is. There's a transference of the anointing. You can think it, when I lay hands, yes, it's Pastor Dan, but you might as well just as fact think that Jesus is laying hands because He's the one that does the miracle. You see? It's Him that does it. I just, as soon as you release your faith and I lay hands, that power goes in from the throne of God. It's done. And if you'll believe that it's Jesus healing you, you're going to receive a lot more healing. Amen? We command everything he raised his hand for. Everything has to line up according to God's word right now. In Jesus' name. Command everything to line up according to God's word right now. In Jesus' name. We break all the hold of the enemy. We just thank you for working in him. In Jesus' name. Anybody else that raised their hand that I didn't get to, just raise it one more time. Nobody? Randy? Father, in the name of Jesus, we command everything to line up according to God's word. We command everything to be healed right now. Every symptom of distress and deficiency to be gone. We break all the hold of the enemy. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we break all the hold of the enemy. We command everything to line up according to God's word right now. In Jesus' name, we just thank you for your healing anointing working in her body. In the name of Jesus. Anybody else I missed? Did you have your hand up? How are you doing?
Oh, fine, thank you,
Pastor. Is there anything you need prayer for in your body?
I'm doing okay.
You're doing okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thanks.
Did you have your hand up? Don't be shy. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command all the symptoms of stress and deficiency to leave. We command everything to line up according to God's word right now. In Jesus' name, we break all the hold of the enemy. In Jesus' name, just receive it right there. We have one more hand, maybe? We got them all? What's going on with you? What is it? Your stomach? Come on over here, Jaden. Come reach your head. Peek over here for me. Help me out. Come, lean this way. Come this way. Father, we break all the hold of the enemy. We command everything to line up according to God's word in his stomach. We command his digestive system to be whole. We command every demonic spirit to leave him in Jesus' name. You know, a lot of times, and if people just continually rebel and don't act right, sometimes God will permit certain things to happen to cause people to repent. I know one guy, listen, I know one guy who wasn't a believer. We prayed this prayer of salvation with him, but he said, what does that mean when you're really, really sick and you start repenting for everything you could ever think of you've ever done? Has anybody ever had that? I've done it. You see? Shouldn't have to be that way. Shouldn't it just be God says you should obey him and then you say, I'm sorry? But unfortunately, sometimes it's got to get to that point where you're ready. You feel like you're ready to just faint or pass out, or you're so sick on the toilet or whatever. You're done. You can't function another minute. You start crying out to God finally. Isn't that unfortunate? Let's see if we can get in the book of Daniel. I just follow the Holy Spirit. Now we're in chapter 2. We're going to give you the interpretation. Again, I encourage you to go over the whole book. The book of Daniel probably take about an hour to read. You'll see all the description of this stuff. We're just going to give you the interpretations that are written down in Scripture to save time. Going over to verse 36. Thank you for your word, Lord. This was the dream. Now, the king demanded from Daniel, and not only him, but all the magistrates and all these different magicians and interpreters and chanters and all these different witches and so on and so forth. He demanded that not only does he interpret a dream, but he tells them what the dream was. And they said, look, there's nobody who's ever placed this demand on everybody. But Daniel said, wait a minute. He said, give me some more time. So he prayed and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel prayed and fasted, and God got the answer over to him and gave him the interpretation and the dream. Amen. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, he's telling the king the dream. It says this was the dream. In fact, he says this. This is the dream, and now we will interpret it to you, king. O king, you are the king of kings. He's talking to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, which is the third Gentile nation to persecute Israel. There's Egypt, Assyria, Babylon's the next in line. We'll go through all of them. There's seven total, eight counting the Antichrist. Now, he says this, you are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind, and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. Now, he's seen an image of the head of gold. And well, you're going to see all the body parts. He says, you're the head of gold. You're the head on this statue that you've seen. You're the head of gold. Tells them who it is. That's Babylon with the king Nebuchadnezzar ruling over them. He tells you who it is, right? Then he says this. After you, so after your reign, after King Nebuchadnezzar's reign, if you're taking notes, you need to write this stuff down. Verse 39, after you, another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours. I'm going to tell you who that is. That's Media Persia. You can find this in your Encyclopedia Britannica. It's in there. Media Persia, which is a divided kingdom. We're going to talk more about it. Because what happens here is chapter 2, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 11, chapter 12. He gives you clues of where the Antichrist is coming from, and every time he gives you more detail. So it's building is what's happening from chapter 2, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 11, chapter 12. He's building to make it so blatantly, obviously clear everything about the Antichrist you could ever want to know. He tells you every detail, where he's coming from, everything. He says, you're the head of gold. After you, another kingdom's going to rise inferior to yours. That's Media Persia, Media Persia. Next, the third kingdom, the one of bronze, will rule over the earth. Now, the third kingdom, it's Egypt, Syria, Babylon, Media, Persia, and that's Greece. Greece. That's Alexander the Great, ruled the Grecian Empire. Very powerful. Alexander lived 33 years, and over his short lifetime, he took over basically the entire world in 33 years. And then he died. Then his kingdom became divided. Now, he says, finally, there will be a fourth kingdom strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything, and as iron breaks into pieces, it will crush and break all the others. Well, who followed the Media Persia? It was Rome. That's the one that was in John's day. Remember in Revelation, he said, five have fallen, one is, and the other is yet to come. The one that is in John's day was the Roman Empire. And the other was yet to come. We'll tell you in a little bit. I don't want to confuse you right now. Now, he says this, just as he saw that the feet and toes, were partly of baked clay and partly of iron. Now, there were 10 toes. Now remember, from the book of Revelation, there's 10 kingdoms that arise, right? Well, here he calls them 10 toes instead of 10 horns, like he calls it in Revelation 17 and 12 and 13. Now, just as he saw that the feet and toes were partly baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom, a divided kingdom. Now that's talking about the revised Roman Empire in the last days, which is forming as we're sitting in this room. Revised Roman Empire. It's 10 kingdoms. We can't call it the Roman Empire because the Roman Empire had one king. The reason we call it revised is because it's in the exact same area of the world and there's 10 kings and they all eventually give their authority over the Antichrist. But not quite yet. One event that has to take place. It's called the rapture. Okay. Now listen here. He says this, I lost my place here, just bear with me. He says, just as, in verse 43, just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. So he's showing this kingdom's going to be together, but there's going to be contention amongst these 10 kingdoms, the 10 toes, 10 horns, Revelation. It's a lot of similarities. We're going to see a whole bunch more horns in the book of Daniel too, to make it very clear. As we go on, you'll see, if you don't believe me yet, that this is no doubt talking the same talk that's in the book of Revelation. At the time of those kings, verse 44, at the time of what kings? The 10 kings that are divided. At the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms. What? The 10 kingdoms and the Antichrist is one. He comes out. It's Syria. We'll find that out in a minute. Jesus at Armageddon, he's talking about, is going to come and destroy all these 10 kingdoms. It says all the kings of the earth side against Jesus at Armageddon, right? It says then Revelation. You know the book of Revelation. It says, in the time of those kings, in the time of the 10 kings, verse 44, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will not be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it itself will endure forever. Jesus' kingdom, right? You can respect that so far. Okay, so now go on over to chapter 7. Let's see some more details narrowing this down. So we know there's going to be these kingdoms. There's going to be Babylon. He said, look, you're the head. He said, after that, another king's going to rise. That's Media Persia. And after that, another king's going to rise. That was the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. After that, another king's going to rise. That's Rome. These have all taken place. This is history. He says, after that, there's another one. And we're going to find out later that he makes it very clear that this other one, the ten toes, he calls it here, that's a divided kingdom, is going to be at the end of, in the end of days, he calls it, over and over. You'll see that as we go on. So pay close attention. We're going to try to take this slow so you can grasp this. So nobody ever thinks these weird things about the Antichrist anymore. He's come. He's here. He's about ready to make a peace agreement with Israel, and at that second, the rapture is going to happen. Anybody living in deliberate sin is not going to make the rapture. You've got to make sure we're... It's going to be... Go watch one of the worst war movies. It's going to be worse than that with these different lion-headed, snake-tailed, scorpion-sting creatures, fire, smoke, and sulfur breathing 200 million, 50 million in four different directions and four angel leaders over them. And then you got the locust creatures that have hair like women, teeth like lions, teeth, breastplates like breastplates of lion, like iron. And you got tails and stings like scorpions who torment, torture, and harm people for 5 months. And the people that try to die can't even die. Death will elude them. I don't want to partake in none of that. I'm getting out. I am out of here. I ain't sticking around. I ain't going to be some hero and say I'm going to stick around and get everybody bored again. They can call on the name of the Lord themselves. I'm out. Follow me as I follow Christ. Let's get out of here and party in heaven for 7 years.
Amen.
Amen. Now we're going to see this again in chapter 7. Am I yelling? I get a little loud sometimes. I don't have a microphone. You probably like to hear me say the word power through the microphone. Now let's start in chapter 7. He's seen another dream. Verse 15, I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the true meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The four great beasts, now he's seen four different beasts. Now, just to give you a little bit of a clue, if you look back at verse 2, it says, in my vision in the night I looked, and there before me were four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Everyone say sea.
Sea.
We see something very similar in Revelation chapter 13 is this. Because it says a beast came out of the sea. Now, this beast, these beasts that come out of the sea are land animals. Everyone say land animals.
Yeah.
Same as in Revelation 13, land animals came out of the sea. This is talking about the exact same thing. Pay very close attention. Four beasts, he says, four beasts, each different from another, came out of the sea. Go on over to Revelation chapter 13. Show you without a doubt that this is no question talking about the exact same thing. Revelation 13, you're going to keep your finger in the book of Daniel. Verse 1, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on his horns, and each had a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a, number 1, leopard. Everyone remember, write it down, leopard. But had feet like those of a bear, write it down, bear. And a mouth like that of a lion. Everyone say lion.
Lion.
Very interesting land creatures. Now let's see what Daniel saw. You see the exact same thing as what he saw. Very similar. Verse 3, chapter 7, Daniel. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came out of the sea. Now we've seen one beast coming out of the sea, but you're going to find out that the different attributes that that beast coming out of the sea in Revelation chapter 13 possessed are all coming from this beast that Daniel saw. Take a look. The first was like a lion. Lion. Everyone say lion.
Lion.
And it had wings of an eagle. Everyone say Babylon.
Babylon.
This is Nebuchadnezzar. Babylon. That's why you didn't see in Revelation 13, you didn't see a lion, because that's not part of this now. But look at here. The first is like a lion. It had wings like an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was given lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and a heart of a man was given it. This is because Nebuchadnezzar, because he got so full of pride, lost his mind. He went out and he started eating grass in the field. He grew feathers like, and his hair looked like bird hair. He grew claws like animal claws. And after 7 years, he finally gave glory to the God of heaven. He got his mind back. He's restored his kingdom momentarily. It's all in the book of Daniel. Look at this. So that's Babylon. Now verse 5. And there before me was a second beast which looked like a what?
Bear.
Now we know the feet on the beast in Revelation 13 were bear feet. This represents Media Persia. Everyone say Media Persia.
Media
Persia. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it was given 3 ribs, and in its mouth, it was given 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. Now we'll come back to this. That's verse 5. Now, so that's Media Persia. Are you with me? Now, I want you to see something here. Take a look at verse 6. I want you to notice before we go to verse 6, verse 5, it says, it was told, this second beast that had feet like a, or it was a bear, or like a bear, was told, get up and eat your fill of flesh. Now, if you study into history, Media Persia were bloodthirsty. They didn't care anything about anyone or anything. They just wanted to dominate. And there was a lot of slaughter by the Media Persian. That's why he says, eat your fill of flesh. Verse 6, after that, after what? After the Media Persian Empire. So you got a whole empire. He's just going like it's 1 second, but this is whole empires rolls and fell here. He says this in verse 6, after that I looked and there before me was another beast that looked like a what? A leopard. Now we know the body of the beast in Revelation 13 was a leopard's body. It had feet like those of a bear, a leopard's body, right? And on its back it had 4 wings like those of the bird. Now, the first beast that came out of the sea in the book of Daniel, he had 2 wings. It looked like a lion. This one has 4 wings, and I can tell you that why that was, because Alexander the Great, 4 wings showing the swiftness. And you'll see that as we go on to the he-goat in the next couple chapters of Daniel here. You're going to see that thing, it skipped across the ground, didn't even touch the ground, because it was moving so fast. So the 4 wings is 2 more wings of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, showing you the swiftness of the pursuit of the Grecian Empire. So he's got 4 wings. Look like a leopard. Leopards are very quick, right? Fast moving. On the back it had 4 wings like those of a bird. This beast had 4 heads and was given authority to rule. The 4 heads represent the 4 divisions of the Grecian Empire after Alexander died. That'll become more clear as we go on. Verse 7, after that in my vision at night, I looked and there before me was a 4th beast, terrifying, frightening, and very powerful. It had large iron teeth that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different than the former beast. It had 10 horns. Everyone say 10 horns.
10 horns.
It's very interesting. Now, the beast itself represents the Roman Empire. The 10 horns represent the revised Roman Empire. It's coming out of the same territory, same area. Now, we know according to Daniel 2 that last beast, or the last kingdom before the revised Roman Empire kingdom also crushed everything. It was very powerful, right? Very powerful. He says the same thing here. So he's going through these same four kingdoms again. Exact same kingdoms. He's just telling you the exact same thing from a different vision. Do you see that? Now take a look here. Let's take a look at verse 8. He said, while I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, a little horn. So there's 10 horns and one of them is a little horn. I can tell you who the little horn is. It's the Antichrist. That's going to become more clear as we go on also. 10 horns. Out of the 10 horns, there comes another little horn who's the Antichrist. The 10 horns are the 10 kingdoms that rise in the last days, that the Antichrist is one of those 10, which is Syria. Syria. Not the United States. Okay. Now take a look here in verse 15. It says, I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there, and he asked me the true meaning of all this. He told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The four great beasts are four kingdoms that will rise from the earth. Verse 18, but the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and possess it forever, yes, forever and ever. The saints. Okay. He says, but I wanted to know the true meaning of the fourth beast. Now, Daniel, the other beasts, he wasn't as interested in, but he wanted to understand this fourth beast. I'm telling you, it's the Roman Empire, the revised Roman Empire with the little horn, the Antichrist coming out. He was very interested in it. Which is different from all the others. It's most terrifying with iron teeth, bronze claws, the beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled everything that under that was left. Now, we know according to Daniel 2, that last the Roman Empire crushed everything just like that. It's the same kingdom. But he's giving you more detail here because now he's got horns instead of toes. And there was no little toe, but there's a little toe. There's a little horn here. There was no little toe coming out of the 10 toes in chapter 2, was there? Mm-mm. But now he got a little horn coming out of the 10 horns. So he's adding more detail is what he's doing. God wanted to make this stuff so clear that anybody on the face of the earth could understand it if they're willing to believe God's word means what it says. Now, he says this in verse 20, I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on his head and about the other horn that came up before which three of them fell. Everyone say three of them fell.
Three of them fell.
That's important to know because what's going to happen is out of these 10 kingdoms, the Antichrist is going to subdue three of those kingdoms. He's going to cause three of them to fall. The Antichrist being the fourth kingdom and the other six are going to look at it and say, there's no chance, and they're going to willingly submit their power over to the Antichrist, and he's going to get full power. He's going to see, they're going to see these other three get subdued, and the way he dominates them, they're going to say, there's no chance. They're just going to say, here you go. Just leave us, take over. We'll side with you. Okay? That's going to become more clear as we go on. I don't know if we'll get through all this today, but we'll do our best. Now, take a look here. He says in verse 24, the 10 horns are 10 kings. Everyone say 10 kings.
10 kings.
Everybody knows in the book of Revelation there's 10 kingdoms. Now if there's 10 kingdoms, there's 10 kings to those kingdoms, correct? He says this, the 10 horns are 10 kings who will come from this kingdom. Everyone say from this kingdom.
From
From what kingdom? Which one are we? What is it? Which one is? Yeah, which one is it? But which we know that. But which kingdom are we talking about here? The Roman, right? Roman in that area. So out of that area of the world. So if we can find out from history what that geological location is, that specific area, and study it out logically instead of trying to imagine all these things, we can pinpoint that within that huge Roman Empire territory, the Antichrist is going to come somewhere out of there, right? We know that much so far. I told you he's coming from Syria, but you don't know that according to Scripture yet. You know that according to what I told you. We want to stick to Scripture. You don't have to believe me quite yet. But you need to believe what God's Word says about all these other things because you already read it yourself. But you will find out that everything I'm telling you is just, it's already written down. I never would tell you anything but. Now, he says this, he's going to subdue three kings. He will speak against, verse 25, he will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints. His saints. And try to change the set times and laws. What did Jesus say? The abomination that causes desolation is going to set himself up in the temple, isn't he? Now, does it say, listen, everybody look up here. Does it say that the Antichrist is going to come up against everybody in the world?
No.
Does it use the word saints?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you see that on paper? It says he's going to come up against the saints. Let's see what the King James Version says. Verse 25 says the same thing, even in your King James Version, it says the saints. Amplified versions, New American Standard Version says the saints. Now, is the saints a common people? Is everybody on the face of the earth a saint? Because apparently these other guys teaching you the Antichrist is going to kill everybody is saying that everybody's a saint. Do you believe everybody's a saint? Do you believe that God's holy people, Israel, would be considered the saints in the last days when they put their faith in the Messiah? We know the Antichrist kills Christians, right? He kills those who don't take the mark of the beast, which are what? According to Revelation, we know those are saints that come out of Israel. We're going to find out they're coming out of Israel. This is extremely important because you're going to be hearing a whole lot about the Antichrist as these 10 kingdoms rise. You're going to start to see it. There's going to be a lot of paranoid Christians running around going, the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, they're all going to be running around saying it. I want you to look at them and say, have you ever read the book of Daniel?
Amen.
And then you can open it up and show them all this scripture, which is prophecy that is about to happen. It's history written down before it happened. God already predicted. You don't need to be prophets to try to figure out and interpret where the Antichrist is coming from.
Amen.
Pastor Dan, you're repeating yourself. I want to get this very clear in you. Okay, we'll take our time with it. If I got to say the same thing 100 times, we're not going to move on until the Holy Ghost lets me move on.
Amen.
We got to get this. This is extremely important. Okay. Now, so it says that this other king, which is the little horn, is going to arise in the last days after the 10 kings. Another king's going to rise, and he's the one that's going to speak against the Most High, in verse 25, and oppress his saints, the saints, and try to change the times and laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a times, and half a time. Again, proving, according to the book of Revelation, the Antichrist does not reign for the full 7-year tribulation period, but only for the last 1260 days. Times, and half a time. Time is 1 year. Times, 2 years. Plus 1 year is 3 so far, and half a time is 3.5 years. He just says it that way. He's God. Amen. Verse 26, but the court will sit, and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the rulers will worship and obey him. Does that not sound almost identical to chapter 2? So we see the same pattern happening. The real major difference between chapter 2 so far and chapter 7, the major difference is We seen in chapter 2 there were 10 toes, but it didn't tell you barely any detail there. And chapter 7, we seen that there were 10 horns. They weren't, he just called them, it's different symbols, but it means the same thing. 10 horns, but out of them we saw another little horn. And we seen that he tried to blaspheme God and so on and so forth. And then we see again that there's another kingdom after that, which is God's kingdom, that took over the whole thing, just like in chapter 2 ended like that, didn't it? Okay, so we're seeing, it's starting to come together, but it's going to get even better. Michelle's telling me we've got to take communion. So what we'll do is we'll move on. We got through quite a bit of information here. If you can sink that in. Now what I want you to do is to go home and read chapter 2 and read chapter 7 and read them every day. And just look at what it says. And then when we come back together again, you're going to see that I'm going to teach on chapter, possibly chapter 7 a little bit more, chapter 8, and then I'm going to go through 11 and 12. And by the time we're done with the book of Daniel, you're going to go, how in the world does anybody think the Antichrist is coming from the United States? You go, these people have never, your words out of your lips, they must not read their Bible. Because God said, amen. Now, I want you to also notice that the words in there, when you read, in fact, you could go through those other chapters. If you're taking notes, read chapter 2, chapter 7, 8, 11, and 12. And look and watch how many times he mentions the time of the end. The time of the end, making this very clear that Daniel was receiving a vision that was pinnacling and it was gravitating and spiraling down to the end days. That's that last and final kingdom. We know that's the Antichrist kingdom. It has to be, because in chapter 2 and chapter 7, that it was God's kingdom that took over, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that at the end of Revelation, that after the Antichrist kingdom, God's kingdom, Jesus comes at Armageddon, he takes over, right? So we can conclude just from that fact alone that he's talking about the same thing. And we'll take off back here. There's so much more we got to go over. There's so much about the Antichrist that we got to go over. Daniel wrote it down because God wanted us to understand these things. Because God, look at me, God knew that there would be a whole bunch of confused Christians in the last days talking a whole bunch of things that are not written down in his word. And God knew that he's going to raise up some pastors and teachers that are going to stand up and hold God's word in high esteem and say, look, this is what the Bible says, and teach you so that you can understand these things and go out and teach someone else. Amen. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. I want everybody to come forward. We're going to take communion today. We'll take it first and then I'll pray for you. Everybody just get in an attitude of worship. If you'll just... it's right here. Everybody will just come forward, if you would, please. So communion, if you study it out in Deuteronomy, Jesus' body was broken, represented by the bread. And that bread was broken and divided, if you allow me. It was divided in pieces so that the body of Christ could be united together. That's a Jews and Gentiles. We're Gentile. We'd be considered the Gentile Church of God. Anything else would be Jewish. And because Jesus' body was divided and broken, it says, by his stripes we're healed. A lot of people like to think that's healing, but it really actually is referring to us being able to be united. He bore our sickness and carried our pains, is making reference to sickness. But we still quote it anyhow because it's just common. So Jesus healed us of strife and division is what he did. We don't ever have to, any person on the face of the earth, we don't have to have unforgiveness to harbor bad feelings towards them. Jesus bore that. His body was broken up and divided so we could be united with anybody. So if there's anybody you're harboring resentment or feelings towards, whether it be a spouse, father-in-law, mother-in-law, stepfather, stepmother, spouse, relatives, aunts, uncles, friends, co-workers, I want you to just, everybody just close your eyes and just quietly, we'll just release that to God. Let's just pray together. Father, we just forgive everyone who's ever hurt us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Jesus, that your blood is enough to cover our sins and theirs. And Lord, we know that you died for them. And we don't want to have any kind of strife or resentment towards anybody, no matter how bad they've treated us, Lord. We know you still love them. and you want them to be saved. So Lord, we just say these words with me. Say, God,
I forgive everyone
who's ever hurt me.
I confess Jesus as my Lord.
And because He is my Lord,
I have the power to forgive.
I ask you to forgive me
for any harboring
of resentment
or bitterness in my heart.
I forgive everyone.
In Jesus' name.
So the blood of Jesus, the reason we partake of the cup, Jesus' body was broken so that we could be united together with our fellow man, with humanity. But Jesus' blood was shed so that we could be back reunited with God. So the body's broken so we could be united to each other in love. The blood was shed so we could be united back together with God, reconciled with God through the blood of Jesus. Father, we just praise you and worship you. We thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. We thank you, Lord, that you sent your only Son to die for our sins. And we're so very grateful that just simply by faith, you've freely given us this salvation. Even when we were ungodly, you died for us, Jesus. Just for the chance, if we chose you, we could be saved. This is what he said. You know, he said something here. And this is for everybody in the room. He said, assignments are being given out for those who will incline their ears and listen. For those who are willing to receive the assignments that I have for them, I am speaking now. So open up your ears and open up your hearts and humble yourselves before me and receive the assignment I've called you to do. For time is short. And there's a plan that I have for you. So take hold of that plan with a firm grasp and do not let go. For as you walk down that path, I will direct you. I will give you wisdom. I will give you direction. I will give you every bit of information that you need to know, says the Lord. So Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but to take heart, He overcome the world. If you got anything out of today, we know this much. So far, the Antichrist comes out of the old Roman Empire territory, that specific location of the world. That's all we know so far.
Amen.
We know that much. Okay, we're going to learn more as we go on. So I encourage you to read those chapters, chapter 2, 7, 8, 11, and 12. Read the whole thing. There's a lot of things you're going to see in 11 that are not about the Antichrist, but at the end of chapter 11, it talks all about the Antichrist. You'll be able to pick that up in your spirit when he does. It's very clear. So I encourage you to read that. We're going to come together. We're going to do an intricate study on this to the point where you can recite it back to me according to Scripture. Because you're going to hear a whole lot of rumors. You're going to hear a whole lot of things as these 10 kingdoms arise. Because what it appears, we already just had an agreement between, I think it was 170 countries all came to agreement, which is an unusual thing. So what's really happening is it's a whore of Babylon, which is a religious system. It's not the kingdom of the Antichrist. It's the formation of his kingdom. It's the beginning stages. But the kingdom of the Antichrist is not a multiple religion kingdom. It's a one-man religion.
Amen.
So anybody that says that all these religions coming together is the kingdom of Antichrist, you could say, no, this is the 10 kingdoms. This is part of the process, but this is definitely not the Antichrist. Nobody's even going to know who the Antichrist is specifically until 3.5 years after the rapture. So these are all facts we're going to see in Scripture. We're going to stick with the Scriptures about it. You'll see that everything I told you is plain English in your Bible.
Amen.
So let's just our job, because we know that we're getting very close, we need to be ready like right now. We don't want to be getting ready. Notice the virgins. There were 10 of them. 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. 5 of them were ready. The other ones, they had their lamps, but they didn't take oil in jars along with them. That means that they knew, they had the information, but they didn't act upon it. And because they weren't doing what they should have been doing, the door was shut. They said, "Sir, sir, open the door." He said, "I don't know you." You see, they weren't ready. So we need to be ready like long in advance. We don't want to be waiting until you see something happening that you think is significant, because what I'm seeing is already significant. See? So let's just stick with our Bible. It'd be good to go through Revelation 12, 13, and 17 also, all making mention of the Antichrist and his kingdom. And if you'll start to meditate those chapters, all of them together, you'll see it'll all come clear that everything I taught you is, you know, go on with a skeptical mind. Go on and read it about a dozen times. Each one of those chapters, you'll see that, yeah, this is undeniable. It's Daniel. Daniel knew this thousands of years ago. This is no new deal here. Okay? So stay excited about Jesus. We love you guys.